Have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of 3 John. There's the book of John, and then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Little books at the back near Revelation just before. And last week we looked at 2nd John. This week we look at 3rd John, just 13 verses again, just a short little book. Next week we'll be looking at Jude, just so you know where we're going. I'll be closing out Postcards from God with the book of Jude. Today I want to title it Christ in You. Everybody say that. Christ, now make it personal, Christ in me. Say Christ in me. In the book of 3 John, the beloved apostle writes a brief letter to his friend Gaius. Now Gaius, in the day of John, when this was written, was a very popular name, and it makes it impossible really to identify who he may have been. But in this letter, John is spotlighting the characteristics of Gaius, while at the same time, he gives a warning about a troublemaker in the area. And when you look at this book, and we look at these two men that John writes about, it makes us ask the question, is Christ in me? Is Christ in you? Let's go to 3 John. That's the only chapter, but the first chapter, being reading verses 1 to 4. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Heavenly Father, this morning, would you help us to be the children that walk in truth? Help us to be who you've called us to be, and what the treasure you have placed inside of us. Lord, may we realize the power of that. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning of this letter, John addresses his friend and immediately begins to affirm his love for him. He lists several characteristics of Gaius that I want to walk through. Number one was that he had a healthy soul. Gaius was a man who had a healthy soul. John says, as your soul is getting along well. Gaius was this man who was growing in the faith and living in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't stagnant in his Christian walk. He was walking with the Lord. He's growing in the Lord. But church, I know it's tough in our culture to maintain a healthy soul. I know it's tough, and I said it's tough, but I didn't say it was impossible. Church, I know in our culture it's tough, but it's not going to happen on its own. It isn't going to just happen by itself. For us to have a healthy soul, we have to work at it. Let me put it this way. If you want to be healthy physically, we have to work at it, right? We have to watch what we eat, or we have to exercise regularly. And as each day passes, I'm realizing that I've got to watch myself a little more and a little more. As I get older, my metabolism has changed. And when I wear a bathing suit, there's stuff on top of the bathing suit now. And I'm like, where'd that come from? But church, I'm working hard because I want to physically take care of myself because I want to be in here for the long haul. I want to be able to do when the Lord calls me to do something, whether it's missions or work on a bathroom or this or that. I can help with the needs in the church. I can be physically able, but I have to work at that. In fact, this morning I got up and I put on my pants and I'm already in my belt. I'm down one notch in my belt and my pants were still loose. I'm like, wow, I think they're just stretched out. But hey. But I am. I've noticed in the last couple of years, my lifestyle has changed a little bit, and I have to work at it. But the same goes for our spiritual walk. If you want to be spiritually healthy and have a healthy soul, because remember when you were a new believer and everything was great and fantastic, it was exciting, man, I'll pray, let's get together and pray. Let's read God's word, let's devour it, let's take it in. Oh, I want to be with God's people and hang out with them and do activities. And that's the way we kind of started our Christian walk. But when we get older, we can allow things to begin to slip in and begin to occupy our time. Prayer can become a little mechanical. Oh, I got to pray. And unfortunately, we can even see our church activity as being our spiritual time. I do not believe our activities at the church, though some of them are spiritual, not all of them are. You need personal worship time, church. You need to learn to love God when you're alone. This is my point. If you want a healthy soul, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work to maintain that health. And we do that by regular and practical encounters with God. We get a consistent prayer life. And consistent doesn't mean an hour a day. If you're not praying, start with 2 minutes a day. Pray in the shower. Pray while you're driving. Just make it a part of your routine that you just begin to call, I need you today. And just let that consistency begin to come a part of your life. What about, you need personal and corporate worship. I love the corporate, but what about your personal worship? You need exposure to people who will challenge you and encourage you in your growth in Christ. If each one of us took an inventory of our soul and the health of our soul today, how healthy would you be? I personally want to be healthier in my soul. Number two that he talks about is that Gaius was a man who had a good reputation. Everyone spoke well of Gaius. They knew him as a man of faith. He was a man of character. And whenever someone talked about Gaius, John knew it was going to be positive. Yesterday, I had a brief encounter with someone, and they walked up to me and they said, I hadn't heard anything good about you. And as I kept talking, I realized what they said. They left out a couple of words. They meant to say, I hadn't heard it. I've only heard good about you. But it came out, I've only heard bad is how it came out. And I'm standing there for just a moment trying to figure this out, you know. As I keep listening, I'm like, man, what has happened? I want a good reputation like Gaius had. I want us to be people of integrity. I want us to be the same when we're in private at home as we are in church. Church, the statement has been about the pastor, he lives in a fishbowl and everybody can look around. I think all of us ought to live in fishbowls. I don't care which corner or which way you want to look into my life. I'm not perfect, but it's okay because I want you around me. I want you to help me grow. And so, church, I want us to be people of integrity, with people who have a good reputation with the people we encounter. Proverbs 22:1 says this, a good name is more desirable than great riches. You got that? Proverbs, there it is. Good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Church, we work hard to earn money. You know what I'm talking about? How hard do we work to have a good name? How hard do we work to be esteemed? Yet we say we want all the monetary stuff, but the Bible teaches us to have integrity is more important. And I trust that all of us want to live with integrity. The third point, Gaius had a faith, it tells us. He had a faith that demonstrated itself in practical ways. When traveling preachers would come to town, Gaius would open his home to them. He was eager and pleased to be able to help. He lived in a way he put his faith into action. Church, we need people like Gaius. There are people who they see a need in ministry, and then they say, how can I help? How can I be a part? There's people who quickly open up their homes to guests. They donate supplies to help. They give of time and resources. And we need more people like Gaius in the church because God works his will through them. And I believe when we have more of them, we'll have a greater impact upon this community, upon the people we know. And I would hope that all of us would want to be like that. Amen? Because his life gives us an example of a positive Christian life. He is the example of the kind of person who makes a huge difference in the church. So much so that a letter is preserved about him. So we can learn from it today about Gaius. He's not the only person commended in the letter. John refers to a man near the end of the letter. His name is Demetrius. In 3 John 1:12, it reads, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Demetrius is one also admired and respected. He's living out the truth of God's word. He's not a phony. The guy is real, just like Gaius is. What would happen, though, if the church was full of people like this? What would happen? It would be incredible. It'd be vital. It'd be powerful in our community. But unfortunately, in this letter, John also reminds us that the church is not only made up of people like Gaius and Demetrius, but there are others. In fact, in John's day, there was a fellow by the name of Diotrephes who was causing problems. 3 John 1 verse 9 says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. Verse 10, so when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. I want us to see a few things that John tells us about this man, Diotrephes. Number one, we're told that he loves to be first. In other words, the number one concern for this man was his own agenda and his own desires. He was a person that every sentence began with I. In fact, he probably did some good things around the church, but he always wanted credit for them. He was a man who believed that his way was the only way. It was the right way. I don't know what position that Diotrephes held in the church, but he had some influence. Because he had the power, to refuse new believers into the church. If you ever do that, he made it miserable for those who wanted to welcome new people. And unfortunately, like it or not, people like this are still in the church today. And we need to guard our hearts from becoming like Diotrephes. Another thing is he was working against the believers. He's working against those who saw things differently than he did. And he wasn't above using force and intimidation to get his way. He used gossip about them. He would slander people. And to those who would dare to show hospitality, he would kick them out of the church. Can you imagine? Now listen to me carefully for these next few minutes. I personally want to be careful. I'm not speaking against anyone, and I'm not here to convict you. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, then that's the Holy Spirit. That's not my intent. But I am aware that there are people who call themselves Christians, that their character doesn't always portray that. And I always want to be loving and caring. And like John, though, at times, church, sin has to be exposed so that righteousness can work in our lives. This morning, let me ask a question. Is Christ living in you? Or do you just like the name of Christ? I want to be called a Christian. It's socially acceptable, or really not today. But are we really Christ-like? Are we like Gaius and Demetrius, or are we like Diotrephes? Maybe a better question is this, what kind of person do you want to be? I'm going to give you 3 quick life lessons from this little book. Number one, I think we need to learn to be hospitable. Our times are maybe a little bit different than John, but we need hospitality still today. It's very important for today. And when you open your homes to others, you show that people are more valuable than things. When you extend hospitality, you demonstrate Christianity in a very tangible way. Opening your homes and your hearts is the best way to build strong relations. In fact, when we walk around and we're greeting people, we're opening our hearts. We're opening our lives, and that's how we build relationship. That's how we get to know each other. And that's very important because God wants to use us to sometimes sharpen each other. The key to hospitality, though, is giving of yourself. I encourage you, look for ways to extend practical love with the people you come in contact with. Look for ways to give yourself. Look for ways to let Christ shine through you. Number two, have a good reputation. A good reputation comes from consistent Christ-likeness. Someone asked me at the end of first service, how do I change my reputation? You just need to start being consistent now. You just got to change what was to what will be. And as that time goes, the consistency will, the reputation will change. It may not happen overnight. And you say, well, if it's not going to happen overnight, I'm not going to do it. Church, you need a good reputation, and sometimes it takes time to build that. All of us know trust takes forever to build and a moment to break. So we've got to work at it. We've got to be able to work at having a good. Now, church, you need to know, we're not going to be perfect people. It's not perfect people who have a good reputation, but people who are consistently working at it. They're people who listen to others, and they're people who admit when they're wrong. The person with a good reputation will be consistent in their Christian walk. Let me give you three statements, I think, that will do two things. One will keep you humble. How many like a statement that will keep you humble? And also help you with your integrity, your reputation. Ready? Number one is this. I want you to be able to add this phrase to your vocabulary. I was wrong. Everybody say that. Yeah, it's not real easy to say sometimes. Church, I'm not always right. I don't always have the perfect things, and I do things wrong. I've not always parented well. I've not always been the best husband. I don't even know if I've always been the best pastor. There are times I make mistakes and I was wrong. And I have to be willing to face up to that and tell you that. In church, I want to work at it because I'm not perfect at it. In fact, this next one I'm still working at is this one. I need help. Church, I think we've got to live in a place where we can't do it alone. And you need to know, when I was selected to be your pastor almost 7 years ago, church, I came here, and you got to realize the scripture says I'm here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. I've got to grow you. I need help. Don't leave this thing to me and me alone. If you want the church to grow, we've got to work at it together. We've got to say, let's get in this thing together. And we'll row together. Four of us rowing, 10 of us rowing. We're going to go faster, more effective. So I need help. You need that as a part of your vocabulary. Say, I need help. What you need help with? Pastor Matt will be there, right there. Here's the one that I think will help you the most. Are you ready? I don't know. Church, there's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how to be a good parent yet. I'm still working at it. I'm still working at the husband thing. It's great, sweetie, but have patience with me. Because I don't know how to do everything. I don't know everything in the Word. People come and go, Pastor, what's this passage mean? I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I tell you what, let's read it. Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. I can give you an opinion maybe sometimes, but church, I just don't know everything. And if you will learn to work these into your life, you say, but they're all kind of on the negative, but they all lead us to the positive. Because when I was wrong, admits that I want to do it the right way. I need help, says I can't do it alone, but if you'll come alongside me. I don't know, but I want to know. So church, would you allow these things to work into your life so you can have a good reputation? Something you need to know, it doesn't matter what kind of reputation you think you want. The problem is you need to know that people are watching you and they will draw their own conclusion. You can walk around saying, yeah, I'm a good person, and everybody else is drawing their own conclusion. Our goal is to represent Christ in how we live. Number three, honor the Lord. Our goal is to honor the Lord and advance His kingdom and not our own. When it comes down to it, this is the most important lesson of life. If you don't learn anything else, honor the Lord. Our goal is to honor Christ, and we can't do that if our personal ego gets in the way. We can't serve the Lord if we're wrapped up in our own interests and our own desires. Father, your will be done. Your kingdom come. We need to live with the mind of Christ. We need to live with Christ in me. Christ in you. Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 1. Let me read three verses to you, beginning with 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world to and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Why? So that no one may boast before Him. Verse 30. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It is because of Christ and what He did on the cross that you could even be saved. It is because of Christ that you are in Christ. He is all you need. And Gaius knew that, and Gaius walked that out, but we need to remember that. Christ is my righteousness. There is nothing good in me. My righteousness is like filthy rags. I can't do anything. There is no one good except one. But I am righteous because of Christ in me. I am covered because of Christ. He is my holiness. You know, when people say, well, you can't stand before a holy God, you're right. But I can when I step into Christ and I let Him be a part of me. He is my holiness and He's my Redeemer. He's my redemption. He's the one who paid the price. I don't have to pay the price. I don't have to work at it. I just receive the free gift from God. It's all in Him. The statement today, I want you to live with Christ in you. Can you put that statement up? I want you to live with Christ in you. But that means you're going to have to surrender. That means you're going to have to give up. I want Christ to so shine in you. When you walk around, it's just like, maybe it's not even a lighthouse, but I mean, you're just a light in the darkness. Because of Christ, not you, Christ in you. Here's a statement I said to you week after week. It's this one. It says, I want you to have a Jesus-filled week. Because it's Christ in you. Christ growing and working in your life.